Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Kathleen.
Welcome to the show. All right, welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. Today, we are going to be talking about getting out of a rut. I'm very excited to talk about this. I think this is something that a lot of us get into.
Everybody.
Like, it just happens. It happens with life. Life just goes. And so, yeah, we are going to be giving some practical tips about that. Kathleen and I both have some tips from our own experiences. And yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Before we get there, we answer a listener question at the beginning of every podcast episode. And if you have a question, if you would like your question to be answered on a podcast episode, you can submit it in the open question box. A link to that is in the show notes. Feel free to submit questions at any time. We answer a question at the beginning of every episode. And then at the end of the month, I take all of the questions that were submitted and I record a longer form Q&A video that is available inside of the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. You can join that for only $5 a month. All right. Let's get to our question.
There we go.
Okay, so the question is, can you give some advice about the two-week wait when trying or avoiding pregnancy and the frustration that comes with it? So this actually took Kathleen and I a little bit to make sure we understood what the question was asking.
So let's define that two-week wait.
So here's what we're thinking this person is asking about. If you're the person who asked this question, please feel free to elaborate, and we'd be happy to answer it again if we totally misunderstood your question. But the two-week wait, typically what people mean by the two-week wait is the wait between ovulation and your period starting. So,
or a positive pregnancy test.
Or a positive pregnancy test, right? So that two-week wait, like when you're trying to achieve a pregnancy, is kind of like, oh my gosh, when can I test? When can I test? When can I test? Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, the two-week wait when you're trying to avoid pregnancy, maybe you used a day you shouldn't have or something like that. And so kind of that.
It's still, when can I test? When can I test?
Right. It's like, am I pregnant or not? I hope I'm not. We're trying to avoid.
But a different kind of anxiety. Yeah.
Exactly. I think both sides really have something majorly in common.
Yeah.
Is that truly, according to the catechism, according to our church, patience is a virtue. Mm-hmm. And we are called to build virtue, to practice virtue, to become stronger in virtues. And this is actually an episode on patience is something that is in the works in the next several weeks. You'll see a specific episode about patience. So this is like kind of a teaser for that. Look out for that episode.
There you go.
It'll be fun. But I think really what we're dealing with on both sides of this is practicing patience. And that's not, I mean, I'm not saying that patience is easy. I just had an experience in my own life that was the most annoying practice of patience I have personally ever experienced. I was so frustrated the whole time. And so I'm with you here that this is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
My suggestion when I struggle with patience is what's really at the root for me is a lack of trust in God's plan and God's will. And so I rely on the litany of trust. I really like the litany of trust for those kind of things. And a lot of times what I'll do when I look through the litany of trust is I'll kind of, like, if I don't have time to pray the whole thing, I know this is like cheater, but I kind of like, I just like skim through to the ones that apply to my situation and I like pray those.
Yeah.
Cheater version.
No, I mean, I think it's fair. And I think that going along exactly with what you're saying is this need to kind of remind yourself that, like, ultimately, like, we do need to trust in God's plan. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's one or the other and it doesn't matter, right? Like, because, like, I know you because we've all been there, right? Like, I need to know.
I need to know.
That's fine. But, like, just realizing that, like, okay, but I don't need to focus on this every moment of the day because the end result ultimately doesn't matter because it's going to be God's will for me, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's going to be God's will. It's going to be what brings me to heaven, right? Like, it doesn't matter.
I have to tell you, like, your voice was in my head during, like, this recent experience of patience that I had
Lord
to go through.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
But no, but, like, basically saying that, like, you've told me those kinds of things all the time. Like, God is only going to give me exactly what I need for my sanctification. Yeah. And, like, your mm-hmm. voice was in my head so much of just say those kinds Aww. Of things of, like, it doesn't matter. It ultimately doesn't matter what the result is. I will find it out eventually.
Yeah.
And it's going to be God's will.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it is going to work out. Something that Leah Darrow says that I just like love and have spun in my head lately is everything is always working out for me. So true.
Yeah.
So true, right? And so like you can repeat that in your head.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I would say that because we are like patience is hard, right? Like virtue is hard. It's hard to build. It's hard to practice. So it's important to remember that in order to obtain virtue, we really need the help of the Holy Spirit, like mm-hmm. and the saints and praying for us and everything. So another thing that can really help kind of eat up that time where you're waiting is a novena. A novena is 9 days of prayer, right? So if you just take each day focusing on making sure you get your novena in, right? Like that will take up 9 days. It's not mm-hmm. to say it's going to be perfect, but do a novena for patience. Do a novena for whatever the result is going to be, right? Like for peace, just whatever it is, you know, find a
yeah,
good novena.
Yeah, or a favorite saint.
Favorite saint, exactly.
Saint Gerard is a good one yes. for mothers, mm-hmm. right? If you're trying to achieve pregnancy or just, you know, just a favorite saint.
Yeah, whoever, just to kind of be you with like. You, to walk with you through the impatience, right?
You know what I didn't understand for a long time is that, this is going to sound silly, but like you can do novenas anytime you want to. Like you don't have That's to true. Say wait for the Saint Therese novena like for her feast day. You nope. can do it whenever you want.
Anytime you want. Yeah, it's true.
And I highly recommend checking out Pray More Novenas because you can like set it up and they'll give you an email reminder all 9 of the days. I'll put a link to Pray More Novenas in the show
idea.
Notes cuz
yeah.
I love using them.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to add to that, Kathleen?
No, I think that's it. That's
all right.
It. So good luck. Godspeed.
Right. God patience instead of Godspeed, right?
That's true. God patience.
All right. So let's jump into the podcast episode, the main episode topic, getting out of a rut. Yeah. So let's talk for just a second about kind of how we get into ruts. Human beings... If we're going to just speak philosophically here for a moment, human beings are creatures of habit. We like routines. Like if you are a parent of young children, you've probably heard it in a book or an Instagram account you follow or something. But like toddlers do best when they have a schedule. Kids, elementary school kids do best when they have a schedule. And so even if it's like loose, but like still sort of like we do this and then we do this and we do this, they like schedules. They like routines. That's because human nature likes schedules and likes routines. So on the one hand, there isn't necessarily anything wrong with a routine. If you and your spouse have a routine when it comes to sex and you are both feeling kind of fulfilled by that and happy with that, I just want to like start by saying there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now.
No.
You're probably listening to this episode because you're not happy with the routine that you're in. So that is what we'll talk about today.
Yeah. No, I think it's... So this is something that I can speak very closely to. I mean, because I think that, yeah, like, and especially, like, if you are in... If you find yourself in a place like Ellen and I, right? You've got kids... You've got schedules, you know, you've got like daily stressors, you've got extra stressors, like you've got all, it's a lot going on. And especially as the mother, right? Like, you are keeping so many balls in the air that sometimes at the end of the day, like, sex is the very last thing on your mind. Mm-hmm. And because it takes so much intentional mental work for us to, like, prepare and be ready for sex, you might not feel like you have that in you, right? Like, and mm-hmm. and this can often lead to a rut. Let me tell you what I just experienced. My husband and I, at the end of September, celebrated 11 years of marriage, and we decided it had been 3 years. So, like, yeah, it was like 2020, the last time we went away, like, just the two of us for like a weekend to celebrate our anniversary or something like that, other than like maybe an overnight for a wedding or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, 3 years since we had really gone away. So the baby's a year old now. We were like,
Kelly, okay. I don't think my husband and I have ever like really gone away, like, since kids. Like,
you got to do something about that. That's all I'm going to say.
Like, we've gone away for like one night.
We went away for 3 nights. We were in such need that we made it a long weekend. My husband called off of work for Friday. We went Thursday night after everyone was settled, and we didn't come back until Sunday.
That's amazing.
So it was amazing. And let me tell you why it was so important. We struggle like with sex a lot of the time, just because it does take me a lot of mental work to prepare mm-hmm. and to be ready. And at the end of the day, I don't always have the mental capacity, right? So it's a constant, and my husband's always got the capacity, always. So it's like, it is a struggle that we have, and we've had for 11 years. To get away, what I experienced in just removing myself from my daily routine, right, for 3 nights, for 3 days, whatever, was the ability to just let everything go. Like, I did not have children in the house that could, like, wake up at any moment or come away from their TV show to find me for something, right? Like, I didn't have to worry about that. So there was a freedom just in our sexual encounter to just be like, there is nobody else to interrupt this. Like, I don't mm-hmm. have to worry about anybody else, right? I didn't have any to-do list that I had to get done or worry about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, every day, it's like, you've got to make dinner, you've got to get everybody up in the morning, you've got to make breakfast, pack lunches, get them ready for school, make sure uniforms are clean, catch up on the laundry. Like, all of these things that I do on a daily basis that are just, like, constantly taking up space in my head, I did not have to worry about. They were non-existent. All I had to worry about was waking up in the morning, relaxing in bed with my husband for a little bit, and figuring out where we were going to go get breakfast. Like, it was a true delight. Like, I cannot even tell you. And I would say it just really opened up our, like, my mental capacity and my freedom to enjoy sex. And it was just great. And now, it's a lot of work, especially if you do have kids. It's a lot of work to get away. And let me tell you, like, up until like 2 days before we were leaving, I was trying to figure out, like, who's going to get these kids to school, and this kid's got to go to school over here, and this one's going over here. Like, we got kids all over the place right now. It was a lot of work, and I kept saying to my mom and to my in-laws, who were like pitching in to kind of take care of everybody, like, this is why we never go away. Like, this is exhausting. Just to like get there is exhausting, right? But let me tell you that it is worth the effort. It is worth the money. You will, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't really spend that right now. I get that, because we are there all the time. So mm-hmm. I get that. But let me tell you, find a way. Mm-hmm. Like, allocate the funds however you have to. If you need to save up, I don't care. Because that money, it is going to be some of the best money you ever spend to just get yourselves away. And the time. Make the money, make the time. Like, that's it. It's never going to be easy, but it will always be beyond worth it to give yourselves just solitude.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about why that works. Is, on the one hand, stress is the highest factor in like your sexual desire and your ability to receive pleasure. If you have been in the orgasm course, you have heard me talk about how stress is a big issue for this. And if you want to go into this more, I will link I will link the orgasm course down there because I do talk about stress quite a bit as one of the biggest contributing factors to your ability to receive pleasure, as well as your like want, your desire to receive pleasure. And so, and I'm talking about like what people call libido or like sexual desire or whatever, like stress is going to affect that. If you can take yourself away, and not, I think sometimes what happens is maybe mom goes away, but then all that you think about is, okay, who's taking care of this? Is this getting done? Is this getting done? If you're going to go away, you have to make sure that you also turn that off and trust the people that you left your kids with. If that's your in-laws or your parents or a close friend or, you know, something like that, or a sibling, you have to trust the people that you left your kid with and turn that off and say, okay, well, yes, my kids are, things are going to go different than I would do them. And that is okay.
Yeah. And honestly, what helped me this particular time around, because there was a lot going on over that weekend. Like, I had kids that needed to get to dance class. I had kids that needed to get to play practice. Like, I had kids that needed to go places, right? Horseback riding. Like, we had events happening.
Wow. Yeah.
We had events, right? So it wasn't just like, oh, school on Friday and then the weekend's free. No, there was stuff going on. I wrote out a detailed list of the schedule. I wrote out a schedule of like all the things that were happening. I wrote out the plans for each event, the times that they had to be there, the times they had to be picked up, how it works best. Like, and I don't, like, my mom's not an idiot. Like, she didn't need all of that, right? Like, even like Josephine's nap time, I wrote down her regular nap times, you know, like, I wrote everything down, how she takes a bottle, how she doesn't take a bottle, like all of it. I wrote it all down. And so my mom could figure it all out. But in case there was a problem, it was all written there. And so I didn't have to worry about it, right? Like, I didn't have to stress about it. It was just, okay, if she can't figure it out, it's written down. So don't have to think about it, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, and I think that really helps to get it off of your plate is, yeah, even if the people that you're leaving your kids with don't need that, you can feel like you did everything you could possibly do and you already answered all of the questions. And so it's like really nice to just get that off your plate. Okay. Let's talk about some other ways that you can get out of a rut. So maybe going off away is just not at all possible for you right now. Maybe you have a very young baby that is just, that doesn't work at all, or some other reason. You know, I think what Kathleen said about make it work, figure it out, it is worth it. Absolutely. Like, please take that to heart. And I'm, you know, I'm eating my own words here because I already admitted that, like, Listen, my husband and I haven't been away, but
it's true. It just takes effort.
It does. It takes a lot.
But sometimes it is not possible. You're right. Because last year we celebrated 10 years and we had like a 3-month old.
Yeah.
So it was like, just, this is not a good year to go away. Right. Mm-hmm. We can't do that this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like for me, like I don't have family anywhere nearby. Like I would have to take my kids. We'd have to physically go to my parents or my in-laws. And then, like, go away somewhere near them or something like that, right. Which is totally an option. Like, it's just different kind of situation. But let's talk about some other kind of ways to get out of a rut. So the thing that going away does is it forces you out of your routine. And we are creatures of habit. We like that routine. It is very easy to stay in a routine. The problem is when that routine gets dry or it's not a good routine. So that's, you know, that's what we're talking about trying to get out of. So going away for a weekend, really, it throws the whole routine off, which can be very refreshing to the routine, right? Now you enter back into the routine with like a new refreshed mindset. So another great way to get out of a sex rut, and this isn't going to apply to everybody, but changing your intention with natural family planning can help you get out of a routine.
Okay? Interesting. Yeah.
So let's say you have been trying to avoid pregnancy for 6 months, for 9 months, for a year and a half, for 5 years. I don't know. if you switch your intention, that is going to kind of throw everything off in a good way. And it's going to kind of force you out of that routine. Now let's flip side. Let's say you are maybe experiencing infertility or having a hard time getting pregnant. Switch it. Try to avoid for a couple of cycles. Or if you feel very convicted that like you don't want to try to avoid, schedule a week or two that you actually intentionally abstain from sex. So maybe schedule like starting from when your period starts to, you know, day 10 of your cycle or something, it's 10 days or whatever, or maybe like during kind of the luteal phase when you're already a little tired and don't really, you know, but like schedule specific time that you are saying, okay, we are going to abstain during this time. Yeah. And when you, this again, this is like, this is human nature. When you take something off of the table, when it's no longer an option, suddenly you start wanting it more. Yeah. And so, but like, here's the thing. If this is going to work, you actually have to stick to what you said. If you said, okay, we're going to abstain for this week. Even if like day three of the week, you're like, oh my gosh, I really want to have sex. Like if this is going to work, you have to stick to the week that you set, right? Because otherwise, then you're just going to like get right back into that routine. Like that one time might be fine, but you're just going to get right back into that routine.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation. I mean, I'm not telling you when you can and cannot have sex. Like if you really want to have sex with your husband, like,
go ahead.
I'm not. go for it.
But you're right. It's like absence makes the heart grow fonder. The things that you can't have, you want more, right? So if you do stick with it, just being like, okay, no, we said no, even though we want to, we said no, the desire is going to build. Another couple things that are coming to mind for me, two things. First is this idea that I have really been intrigued by lately because I've realized that I'm pretty awful at it and I really want to like make an effort to get better, is not looking at sex as just something that you have to do, right? Like because your husband wants it or because maybe even just because you want it or just because you're married and that's what you do. Like, but thinking of sex more as a form of play is something that's been so intriguing to me because I've realized that I tend to approach it as like, okay, like this is good. And so I have to do it. Like we need to prioritize this and do it because it's good for our marriage. It's good for us. God tells us that it's good. Like we, you know, like, and so everything ends up feeling very serious and very formal rather than having it just entering into it in a very lighthearted manner. Like, let's just like try something new. Let's like, you like do some like games or like, you know, like, using like card decks or something, like let's put on some music
or food, like, or
like food or whatever. Exactly. But like really just starting to embrace this idea of sex being play, right? Like, and because think of like little kids, right? Like think of when little kids play, that is how they grow in relationship with each other, is through play.
It's how they learn, too.
It's how they learn. Exactly. It's how they learn. It's how they become friends. It's like, how many times do I take my kids to the park and they start playing with someone and then all of a sudden it's like, do you want to be my friend? Like, they all ask that.
Yeah.
Like, once they start playing, the question becomes, do you want to be my friend? Right? So it's a relationship that starts being built, right? If we can approach sex with our spouse in the same way as like, hey, let's not just like make this very sterile and serious and like, let's play for a little bit. Like it just has a totally different effect on your relationship. I imagine, right? Like, again, like I need to start doing this. Right. So it's like, these are my musings on this and why I need to do this more. Right.
This is actually something, again, this wasn't supposed to be like an advertisement for the orgasm course, but I do have a section in there where I talk about play helping you like let silliness lead you to intimacy.
Yes.
And it's huge. Like laughter can lead us into a form of intimacy that we can't get from like treating things seriously.
Yeah.
And laughter is actually extremely freeing for like the human body and the human soul. And that's why like it's really interesting is like if you look at someone who is in deep grief. Sometimes it's really easy for them to laugh. And that is, it's so good. Like, if you've probably experienced, like, someone close to you has passed away and you're at the funeral, and then you have the reception and it's all very heavy and it's all very hard, right? And then it's kind of the after of the funeral, and then it's just the close family and the really close friends that are still sticking around. And then everybody starts laughing. Everybody starts saying funny stories or thinking about this, right? And it's like,
the body needs it. Like, the soul needs it.
Yeah. And so, not that sex has anything to do with grief, but it's sometimes we can treat it as this like equally heavy thing.
Yeah.
And so laughter can really help. And so that's when, like, trying a new position and ultimately failing at it is awesome.
Yeah.
So good. Right.
That is funny.
Or like playing with food. If you've never played with food before and you play with food and you're just like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing with this like whipped cream can? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
And I think that was it on my thought.
I think that's, those are all really good points. And, you know, just to emphasize that, like, yes, like, make it fun. Like, try, like, what can you do? That's the question that needs to be answered. What can I do to make this more fun and less serious? Mm-hmm. The other thought I was going to say is, and this can be done, like, whether you're trying to abstain or not. I listened to this one podcast called Your Turned On Desire. The woman who does it, her name is Jamie Andelin. Mm-hmm. And I think she has some really good points that she makes. And
just
one
FYI,
of them,
like, this is not a Catholic podcast.
Correct.
Beware of some of the stuff that she recommends. Sorry.
Yes.
Just a little disclaimer there.
Just a caveat. Like, we're not going to say it's like totally in line with church teaching, everything.
But
there
she does
are
have
absolute,
some. She does have some good stuff in there.
Absolute, like, golden nuggets. And the one thing that I remember her talking about is like prioritizing making love, and that making love does not have to mean having sex. Right. So choosing to make love as much as you can in your day. So that means, so that means, like, okay, maybe you're making dinner and you're like stressed because you're running late and whatever, and your husband comes up behind you and just like gives you a little kiss or like a tap on the butt or whatever. That means choosing in the moment to stop what you're doing, stop the dinner for a second, like even if it's for 30 seconds, and to turn around and kiss him and give him affection back. Right? Like, that is one short instance of choosing to create love in the moment, right? And again, doesn't have to mean that needs to lead to sex. And even in times of abstinence, I know we ended up in a huge rut early in our marriage and for years, because I was taking our times of abstinence as like, okay, we need to like separate because otherwise it's too hard for him, like it's too tempting, like it's too, like, right? And so my husband ended up feeling like ignored and not loved or cared about for years whenever I was in my fertile window. And it ended up taking a lot of arguments and discussions and resentment and whatnot to realize, like, no, like, that's the opposite of what we should be doing. We should be finding new and different ways to connect, right? And so maybe you can physically connect still, just not through the sexual act, right? But, like, making sure you take that time to still find ways to physically come together, to connect. Maybe it's snuggling on the couch and watching a movie. Maybe it's just like making out and just like no hands allowed, right? Just like hands behind your back and, right? Like, maybe you can do that. Maybe you can't. And that's okay too, right? But like, whatever it is for you, maybe it's just taking a walk and holding hands, right? But finding ways to still stay physically connected, to make love in other ways, I thought was a really important nugget that I needed to kind of pull out.
Yeah. And if you want a little bit more on that, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, go take a listen to that, especially the second half of it, where I talk about intentionally creating moments of non-sexual touch to help you like just grow fonder of your husband's touch. and I'm in that episode, I'm specifically talking about how that feeling of like every touch leads to sex and that frustration with that. But actually the antidote to that is more touch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think the antidote to a lot of things is actually more touch. And what Kathleen's pointing out here is like an antidote to this rut is increasing that intimacy outside of the bedroom.
Yes,
so that exactly. The intimacy inside the bedroom gets even better. I think that's a great place to close out this episode. That was awesome.
That's good stuff.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.